The Isle of Man goes to the polls in September again. It's a general election, September the 29th. Here on Talking Heads, we're talking to all of the challengers who've declared that they'll be contesting the current members' seats. Today we're joined in the studio by Pat Ayres, who's the Liberal Valiant Party candidate for the constituency of Ayr. Good afternoon, Pat, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Steve.
I think you ought to start a new rule, actually, that that candidates have all got to be named after the area that they want to represent. It makes it so much easier in the newsroom.
It used to be the way with the likes of Captain Douglas, so why not?
I guess so. Welcome to the programme. Tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I'm English, born in West Sussex, never lived there. Last place in England I lived was the Midlands, just outside Nottinghamshire. Moved across in late 2003, early 2004. I've been here since, obviously, cut all ties, more or less all ties with England. I have a daughter there. Live in Ramsey at the moment. Plan is to move shortly, but with the housing market being as it is, that's on the back burner, obviously.
Yes.
56, self-employed, run a taxi and a few other little bits and pieces. Single, widowed, actually. That's about it, really.
OK, and where did your interest in Manx politics come from?
It started in 1998, I believe it was. I was a local politician for local authority in England, councillor. And I was set the task to investigate the possible upcoming cabinet system, the Labour Party at the time in power, they were going to put into. And I identified the Isle of Man as being the nearest to the cabinet system actually existing. So I started studying it there and then.
Right. Okay. So you've served as a councillor in the UK, so yeah. You've got an idea about how to be involved in politics.
Very much so, yeah.
Do you think it would be a big step to become an MHK?
It's another step. I've been out of English politics, obviously, since I've been here.
Yes.
But it's the next logical step, I think, for myself. I've done the local politics. The local politics at a higher level than the local politics here, if you understand. The commissioners here don't really kind of work the same budget, the same population.
Yes.
It's akin to being an MHK, quite honestly. It's the next logical step for me, I think.
All right, it's a fairly big area, isn't it, Ayr?
It's huge.
Yeah, well, and not that many people in it, really. So you're going to have your work cut out, really, knocking on doors, aren't you?
I've bought a four-wheel drive, so I'll get to some of them. <That'll> A very cheap four-wheel drive that should get the hell knocked out of it in the next 3 months.
Yes.
So I'm quite prepared, and I've found some houses that even Google's missed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's how I found some of them, by Googles. I found them behind other houses.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Really incredible up there.
So are you going to be able to cover the entire constituency, do you think?
I've covered it once already.
Oh, right.
By leaflet. That's why I found that I've missed a few houses.
Yes.
And people have rung me and told me, and I've gone back. Luckily, I knew them both. There's only two I missed. Any others, please, people ring me up and tell me, and I'll certainly give you a leaflet. It is quite possible to do it. It's not too difficult.
Do you think it will work against you that you're not Manx? Everybody I've spoken to so far has been Manx.
I'd like to think it wouldn't, actually. I've only had one person actually ask if I'm Manx on the doorstep.
Yes.
And obviously I said, no, I'm English. You know, I'm born in England.
You're having a Turkish.
No, but everything that I own, my bank account, my licence, my passport, it all says Manx government on it.
Yes.
So I'm as Manx as I can be without having actually been born here.
Manx by choice rather than by birth.
Yes. Yes, good choice.
Well, that's the way that I look at it,
yeah,
I must admit. You're also the Liberal Vanin candidate. How did that election happen? I think you were put forward by the Lib Vans in January, was it?
Yes, I was declared January 1st. I chose the date. I thought, new year.
Yeah.
New man. I've been in the party since 2006, just after the last local election, not before. I've known Peter since I got here. Basically, I was one of the first people I met when I come across Peter Caron. And I liked his style at the time. He was in the Labour Party at the time. He left that, and when he formed Liberal Vanin Party, I waited to see how it developed, what the constitution was, before I jumped in, basically. And I was happy with what I saw.
Yeah.
So it came. It's a broad church. I was quite happy with that.
And, would you have stood for politics without the backing of a party?
I would have. But with party, it's much easier to develop your own policies. you can talk, you can put a policy forward, you can discuss it with other like-minded people,
yeah,
and put it to bed, as it were, and cement the policies.
But that presumes that everybody's going to be like-minded, you know, you're all going to follow the same mandate, because if you've got very strong ideas of your own about what should happen in air, and the rest of the party don't agree with you, then you're going to have to follow the party line on it, aren't you?
Not always. No, the basic broad policies are agreed at conference, and we've got ours next Sunday. Anybody wants to pop along? The basic board policies are agreed there, and within those policies, there's areas for movement.
Yes. All right, and do you think that party politics has got a place in the Isle of Man? Because this is a debate that's been rumbling on for years and years, as far back as I can remember, certainly. That, you know, supposedly everybody stands as an independent. We know that your party leader talks about a one-party state by patronage. Is that how you see it, or do you think that the Lib Vans have got a viable opposition?
I've seen the bloc vote in action. I've seen the government party in action. I've seen them in action this morning in Tynwald. It doesn't please me to watch. It embarrasses me to a degree. Party politics, I think this island is crying out for party politics. To a degree, I'm not saying we go down the same road as Britain, if you like, just Tory Labour with another little party tacked on the middle.
Yeah.
I think it needs parties, hopefully many parties, Just to get the proper debate going.
But do you not think that what we need is a strong national government, and that the only way that that government can be strong is by having a bloc vote? You know, if everything has to be by consensus all the time, then an awful lot of decisions won't be taken, and some of those will be right decisions as well. I appreciate that not all of them, but some of them might be right decisions that need to be taken but aren't universally popular.
Well, what I see is a government by fear, not by consensus.
Do you really think so?
Yes, I do. The Chief Minister, who's elected by MHKs, let's remember this, he's the one that gives out the ministerial positions. He's the one that gives out the departmental positions. And if you don't toe the line, as Mr. Cregeen a couple of years ago, you get your position taken away from you. Now, luckily, Graham Cregeen was lucky. He had two positions, but he only got paid for one, so he lost that. David Cannon, on the other hand, only had one position. You know, well, you've upset everybody. Nobody will work with you. I've basically told them not to. You're going to lose 30% of your salary. You know, and that, I believe, a lot of people toe the line because of that, because they live to their income, unfortunately. They should think beyond that. They should look at the national picture, not their own personal wealth.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that then. National politics versus local politics. Yeah. Do you see the role of an MHK for air as being a local politician, a good constituency man, looking after potholes and things like that? Or do you see yourself taking part in a bigger government?
Potholes being responsible for the DOI, as it's called now. Yes, the local MHK can give a nudge to them to say, come on, you know, let's have a look. You've done this road. Let's sort this road out. The other issues, the real local issue, the dog mess.
Yeah.
Said it.
Yeah.
Dog mess and dustbins. That's down to the commissioners. I believe the commissioners should be given more power rather than less power, as some have put forward.
So I'm getting the impression that you think that the role of an MHK is to take part in a national government.
Absolutely.
But the Liberal Vanning Party has said that it doesn't want to take part in a national government, certainly not as it's constituted at the moment.
It's not said that at all. What it says in its constitution is that we won't take ministerial positions until we are in the position of influencing policy. At the moment, Liberal Vanning Party, if we had 2, 3, 4, up to 10 MHKs there, unless we hold the balance of power, we can't influence policy at all, because the Chief Minister would be picked by the majority of MHKs, quite democratic to a degree, and the Chief Minister will set the policy on his own or her own.
All right, and you think that that would be a less intimidating way to run government if the Lib Vans had 10 seats in the House of Keys? Because you're talking about the current government rules by fear. I mean, it's all about, you know, numbers, isn't it? It's all about how many votes you can get.
It's all about numbers, absolutely. But we can influence. I mean, at the moment, the bloc vote covers 23 members out of 24. You know, who daren't vote against the government? The ministerial code says so, if they want to. In most cases, they have to resign their position. Now, that's not a way to run a democratic society. Not in my mind.
So you think that the Lib Vans could form a credible opposition?
Absolutely. We will form a credible opposition.
OK. What are the biggest issues facing the island at the moment, do you think?
Economy. Obviously, VAT. Recently, there's some capital schemes being put forward. And Mr. Karen, our only MHK, actually, in the House at the moment, has voted against those, but not on the grounds if he doesn't want them to happen. Mm. On the grounds that at the moment we're looking at a possible another 25% reduction in the VAT payback from England. We should we really be spending many millions of pounds now when we could find a drop of £80-90 million next year? We don't know yet. This is the problem. We don't know what the figures are.
I think you're the first person who's actually put a number on it. So you reckon that we're looking at another 25% cut in our VAT share?
That's what I've been told.
Right.
That's the rumour. It's an estimated figure, yeah.
What do you think? I mean, Richard Murphy, a fan of this programme, I think, he suggested that it's only right and proper that the Isle of Man should lose this money because we've effectively been cooking the books with things like the film industry and numerous other ways of getting around the VAT agreement. What do you think about that?
I'm not a fan of Richard Murphy. I have read his, I think it's called a blog.
Yeah.
I have read it. The man seems to have an axe to grind. I don't know if it's jealousy or it's ignorance of the island. I think he knows the island, but I don't think he actually understands the island.
Mm.
Yeah, we're not trying to rip anybody off. We just want our fair cut. All the time we got Tesco's Boots, used to be Woolworths, and the other firms on the island. Their VAT goes to England, doesn't stay on the island.
So you're one of those people who thinks that that needs to be addressed, the way that the VAT is sent off island.
They're taking our money. They're taking VAT off of us.
Yes.
And most people believe if we're paying VAT, it's going to the government.
Yeah.
But it's going to the English government.
Well, and that's what the original VAT sharing agreement was about, wasn't it? To try and make sure that it redressed that disparity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's been redrawn now.
Yeah.
Quite unilaterally. I mean, it's been nothing to do with us.
And what do you think the answer is to that? Because some people say our government needs to fight harder for our, you know, fight for our corner in a more firm way. Do you agree with that? And if so, how?
Well, until we see the books, until we see the figures, we can't really make a definitive policy on that. We haven't seen the books. We're not shown the books. We're not allowed to see the books. Let's see the figures, and then we can give you a proper answer.
And if the UK government do want to take another 25% off our VAT share, what do you think we ought to do about it in terms of maybe independence?
Mm. Independence is a future prospect, I think. Right at the moment, I can't see it working. But there's nothing we can work towards it. Next.
Do you think we should work towards it?
We should certainly be looking at it seriously.
What are the downsides to that?
Unfortunately, everything that we get on the island, everything comes through England, as you know. It wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility for some things not to get here if we had independence. I mean, all sorts of customs arrangements and customs agreements could come into place. We could need passports to go to England. I mean, somebody was asked for a passport to go to Wales the other day from Ronald's Way. Unbelievably to Wales. I'm not saying unbelievable they want to go to Wales in the first place. But actually, they've been asked for a passport.
Realistically, is that a problem, though? I mean, you've got to use a passport to get most tickets and to check in for domestic flights these days.
Physically, it's not a problem. Yeah. Physically, it's not a problem. It's the whole ethos of it. You know, why should I have to show my Isle of Man passport to somebody in Liverpool just so I can move into the place I was born in? You know, and vice versa. People that live in England that were born in the Isle of Man to come back. It's not. You shouldn't have to show a passport to get the place you were born.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.
This is Talking Heads, and we're talking to Pat Ayres, who's the Liberal Vanin Party candidate for the constituency of Ayr. So, you're saying that, you know, we've obviously our government's lost a big chunk of its income. I think it was 140 million quid a year, wasn't it, in the first redrawing of the VAT agreement. That's been helped a little bit by the rise in VAT to 20%. So, now people are talking about we've lost 100 million quid a year. What should we do to make that up, do you think?
I've got no answer to that. It's right at the moment. It's one of the items on the agenda for our summer conference on Sunday, how we address that, what we're going to do, what we're going to put in our manifesto. There are ideas. It's not been put to bed yet, so I wouldn't like to comment at this stage on that one.
All right. I mean, the biggest expense for government is in salaries, isn't it? So where do you stand in terms of redundancies, even if it's only natural wastage?
I don't like to see redundancy. Well, natural waste isn't redundancies. Let's get that right. If natural waste is someone leaves a job, you declare that job dead.
Yeah.
And gone. That's not technically a redundancy. A redundant position, but not a redundant person. Redundancies themselves, with the amount of money we've got to make up, the amount of money that's been taken off us by the British government, it's inevitable there could be some positions that have got to go. But I'd like to see it done properly and done fairly. Not just the working person, not just the person, the man or woman, at the chalk face, as it were, you know, or the rock face. I want to have a look further up. The civil service is pretty top-heavy by all. Most people would agree with that, I think. We need to be looking there.
A lot of people seem to think that it's a very bloated civil service that we've got. Do you agree with that?
I would agree broadly, yeah.
So it would be inevitable then that some of those jobs would have to go. It's just got to happen, hasn't it?
If you start,
it's all very well saying, you know, we don't want to see anybody lose the jobs. Nobody wants to see that. But if effectively the government's income is reduced by 50%, which is what we're talking about over a period of something like 2 years, then we can't keep employing so many people, can we?
Well, we can't. It's a quick answer. We have to cut expenditure. And the biggest expenditure, as you say, are employment.
What about opportunities? We've talked about the threats that face us at the moment. What about opportunities? I mean, people talk about, you know, it's a shame that we don't have much of a tourism industry anymore. You've driven taxis, so you know how difficult it is to get people over to the Isle of Man. What do you think we could do here that might bring more business to the Isle of Man?
We need to sell it. We need to sell it more. I don't believe it's marketed properly. I don't believe it's marketed efficiently. Certainly not efficiently. I mean, the only draw we've got on the island are two, TT and the GP.
Yes.
That's about it. Otherwise, people come for a quiet weekend. They save up and come across for a quiet weekend. And they love it when they come here. They love it and they go back and tell other people and they come across. Yeah, but it's a shame that you've got an island this size and this beautiful. And the only thing people come for, or one of the biggest things people come for, is noisy motorbikes tearing around the streets at breakneck speed.
So you're not a fan of the TT then?
Oh, I love the TT. Don't get me wrong. I love the TT, but I see it for what it is.
Which is?
It's a tourism thing.
Yeah.
You know, the bikers do it because they love the job. I can't fault the guys, but people like Guy Martin, like Connor Cubbin, who I've had in the back of my cab, and people like that. But it's so disruptive. You know, I can see it being run smoother than it is, much more efficiently than it is.
Most people who we talk to from the north of the island constantly bang on about the fact that the north doesn't get a fair share of things like regeneration funds or attention from government, and that everything's very Douglas-centric. Do you feel like that?
I feel there's Douglas-centric in certain degrees. As far as the regeneration fund, I think we've done all right out of that. I mean, you're looking population-wise. Yeah, you know, there's 25,000 population in Douglas. There's a 6,000 or 3,000 population in Ramsey. Say 6,000 in the top of the island altogether. You know, proportionally, I think we've done all right out of it. You know, I think it's been fairly distributed. Whether some of the schemes they're using them for are the right things to do, I'll leave that to others to decide.
Where do you stand on, I mean, this is getting down to the sort of work that you're doing at the moment, not the work that you hope to be doing, but the taxi dispute that we've had recently, where do you stand on that one about the deregulation?
I'm in either way with it. I think it's good for customers, good for the people, to have the deregulation. It's de-zoning, really. It just means you can pick up anywhere on the island rather than... You know, I can drive from Ramsey to Douglas. If someone flags me down at Laxey, I can't pick them up. It's midway. That's ridiculous, you know. But on the other hand, a Douglas guy can go to Ramsey, but he can't pick up in Kirkmichael. That's silly. You know, if somebody flags you down, you want to stop and you want to pick them up and give them a ride. You know, for the money as well as for their convenience. It's crazy that we can't pick up in certain areas.
Yeah.
I think it should be stopped, but quite honestly, it doesn't really bother me because I'll work in Ramsey, I'll stay in Ramsey, you know. And I hope to keep driving a cab at weekends. Just Saturdays or something. As Mr. Brown did, he used to open his shop. As Mr. Roden still dispenses pills. No reason I can't drive a cab occasion and keep in touch with the people.
You think that that's a good way of finding out what people really think?
Oh, I'll find out how they think, all right.
Yeah. Oh, I've driven a cab. I know that works.
Yeah. You know exactly what I mean. Yes.
If you're elected, what will your priorities be?
Priorities for air. First thing I'd like to get all the MHKs of the North working together. At the moment, they don't work together. I mean, Eddie Tear talks to Anne Crane and talks to Alan Bell in Comin. He might talk to them in the coffee shop. I've seen them in the cafe talking to them. Obviously, they all sit together, and apart from Peter, who sits on the other side of the room, of course. It's all right talking together, but you need to work together. We need to get something done for the North. Some investment put into the North of the island.
But isn't the island too small to sort of fracture it like that and to have northern MHKs and central MHKs? I mean, it's a tiny island, isn't it?
Well, it's been proposed last week in Legco that we have 24, I mean, 8-3 MHK seats. That's exactly the same sort of thing. Because what happened, you'd have 3 MHKs for a northern constituency. Will that be Eyre plus Michael or Eyre plus Ramsay makes 3? Michael, Ramsay and Garth makes 3? You know, there's so many different permutations. So I think it's what we're heading towards anyway.
And what do you think that Manx politics works? Obviously, you've got questions about it, but do you think that our political system works?
The political system is very workable. It's well set up. It's been set up for some time.
Well, and you've looked at it from the outside as well,
haven't
you?
That's right, absolutely. Yes. And it is workable. But within the system, there's areas of conflict, which I'd like to sort out, you know, or help sort out with my colleagues.
Do you think it will be difficult to get to grips with being an MHK if you're elected? Because I've wondered about that in the past, in that it's all very well people on internet forums saying, yeah, we want a complete clear out this time, we want all new MHKs. I've got concerns about that, if you end up with, you know, a whole load of new MHKs.
That wouldn't work, and it's not going to happen, let's face it. Yeah, at least, I see at least 50% of the present incumbents being returned.
Yeah.
Some because they're doing a damn good job. Others because they've got no opposition or very little opposition. Some because they've got lots and lots of friends and family.
Yes.
You know, there are some that won't be returned. There will be new faces in the House. Let's face it, there will be quite a number. Whether they're Liberal Vannon or not is up to the people, of course.
How many do you hope to get in? How many LVP members do you hope to get in?
We'd like to see 10 in.
And is that achievable, do you think?
Let's just turn to the people out there.
Yeah.
We're working towards it. We're working hard towards it. As I say, again, we've got our conference Sunday where we're setting our policy out. We're nailing down the manifesto so that it's understandable. We're tweaking it a little bit because since last time we wrote our constitution, things have changed. So we've got to update it. We've got to simplify it so that people understand it and so that everyone understands it and everyone can question us and we can give proper answers on it.
You said earlier on that you live and work effectively in Ramsey. Why did you stand in Eyre and not Ramsey?
Because I love Eyre. I like Eyre more than Ramsey, funnily enough. It seems a bit strange. When I moved across, I chose to live in the north of the island.
Yes.
Ramsey was the place I found somewhere to stay because it's so spread out in the north of the island. Ramsey is the only conurbation worth talking about. And that's where all the accommodation is, all the rental accommodation. So that's where I started. So I've grown up, if you like, in Ramsey. I've grown up as a Manx in Ramsey. But the Eyre's always had, since the 1970s when I used to come across, I remember when you used to be able to go to the top of the Eyre Lighthouse. And I went to the top of the lighthouse with a friend. And it was just incredible standing up. You can see Scotland, you can see Cumbria, you know, you can see seals on the beach. It's unbelievable, really.
So it's not just that you felt that you'd stand a better chance by standing in Eyre?
No, I'll stand as good a chance anywhere else. I could have stood in Ramsey. I chose to stand in Eyre. I asked the party executive if I could stand in Eyre. So I went through the process of interviews to see if I could stand. Okay, you know, green light for that one. Now I'd like to stand in Eyre. And I had to give my arguments why I wanted to and not Ramsey.
Right.
And I won the argument.
Yeah, just tell me a little bit about what you hope to be able to bring to Manx politics if you're elected.
A fresh outlook, if you like, a fresh set of eyes. Because I've spent some time in England, most of my time in England, I've got a perspective of how British politics works and how it's gone wrong and how it went wrong in the past 15, 20 years. I was at college when Margaret Thatcher came in.
Mm.
And that was quite a turbulent time for everybody, not just anybody involved in politics at the time, as I was in student politics. I've got that perspective. I've got a perspective of being 10 years on a large local authority in England as chair of planning, as chair of IT, as chair of various committees and various ad hoc committees and sitting committees. And I've got that background. So I can see when something is proposed, what the likelihood is. I know what's involved. I know what the civil servants need to do to enact a bit of legislation.
Yes.
I know the pitfalls, basically.
But, well, sell yourself to us. You know, we've got a minute left. Why should people vote for Pat Eyre?
A whole minute.
Yeah.
Because I'm part of the Liberal Vannon Party, which is the only alternative.
Are people voting for you or for the Lib Vans?
Half and half, I believe. People want a change of government. We know they want a change of government. And I'm offering myself up to be part of that change.
And obviously you think that you've got a fairly good chance.
I've got a good chance as anybody else.
Yeah. Well, that's us out of time, but Pat Ayres, thank you very much for coming in today. It's
thank
been nice talking
indeed.
To you. No doubt we'll talk again before September.
I do hope so.